Today, this sermon is called Blizzard Conditions.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Let's pray together as we dig into the Word of God here today. Father, we praise you again for the things that you've already done and the hearts that you've spoken to. Lord, I'm just so thankful for your love. And I'm thankful for all that you've done for me. And I'm going to ask that you would use me today to bring this message that I believe comes from your heart, God. And we will thank you and we will praise you for it. In Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Well, I do want to thank Pastor Aaron last week as he brought forth another powerful word of God. Amen? Amen. Anybody remember what the title was? You all said, yeah, that was powerful. I can't remember what the title was, though. What is it? Thank you. All right. For those of you that take notes, that's what you wrote down. God's word is unstoppable. And we're going to kind of go along somewhat similar lines today as well as we dig into this. Brother Aaron, would you do me a favor and bring that water back to me so I can get a drink? But this morning I want us to go to Psalm chapter 119. And Pastor Aaron said that he wasn't going to read the whole chapter of Psalm 119, all 156 verses, but I think I might this morning. Is that okay?
Amen.
Nah, I don't think I want to do that because I got lots to cover today. I'm going to read one verse here this morning. Psalm 119, verse 105. Most of us probably have heard this verse before, haven't we? And if you haven't, I'm going to read it to you. Ready? The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Thy word. We talked about God's word last week with Pastor Aaron bringing that God's word is unstoppable. When God says something, he's going to accomplish it, right? It's going to happen. That is the Word of God. That's what makes it living and alive. So when we read something out of God's Word, we can count on it with everything that is within us. And this Word says that God's Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's an interesting message that the Lord placed upon my heart today. But before I get into the sermon title and what this message is about, I want to read a story that I found. And I can somewhat relate to this because of our recent trip that Laura and I made while we were on sabbatical. And I want to read this, and it's a story called Heavenly Tire Tracks. Anybody ever heard this one before? That's good. Thick snowflakes swirled around my windshield. Anybody know anything about snow? You ever been in snow? Everything around me was blanketed in white. The light was fading as the sun set over the rocky peaks. I was driving up a mountain pass on what was supposed to be a four-hour trip from Red River, New Mexico to Durango, Colorado. Now, I mean, anybody been in Colorado before? Colorado is full of mountains. Colorado is full of high mountains. I inched along on a winding, unfamiliar road in a snowstorm. I was on my way to meet my boyfriend who was visiting his family in Durango. He'd invited me to join them for the weekend. I was staying at a friend's house in Red River. The fastest way to Durango from Red River would take me through this mountain road. But I was so excited about the weekend ahead that I didn't even think to check the weather. Anybody ever done that before? Excited about going somewhere. Laura and I were excited about taking a trip up in the mountains. I never thought to check what that mountain road was like. Well, this particular lady explains this. 30 minutes into my drive, the snow had started. Gentle flurries at first. I thought about turning around, but it hardly looked threatening, so I continued. Now I regretted that decision, but it was too late. The road was too narrow and icy for me to turn around. To my right was a sheer cliff face, and to the left a sharp drop-off descending hundreds of feet. Now, if you heard that story from Laura and I, we went up a mountain road with exactly the same conditions, and nothing on the side, no rails for 9 miles, and switchbacks on the side of a mountain. How many of you would enjoy that? How many of you enjoy that in the snow with icy roads? The snow was bad. It was getting worse. The only way out was forward. Higher and higher into the mountains, the last bit of sunlight disappeared, and I couldn't see anything beyond the few feet illuminated by my headlights. I panicked. How many of you might have panicked at that time? My cell phone had lost service as soon as I'd entered the mountain pass and remained at zero bars. I couldn't call for help. I had some bottled water in the trunk and the clothes in my luggage. Maybe I could find a place to pull over and bundle up until the morning time. Would that be enough to keep me warm all night? Yeah. How long would it take for someone to find me? If anyone would ever find me. I gripped the wheel tighter. Please, God, help me, I whispered. And I got to tell you, when Laura and I were going up that mountain road, and it wasn't snowing, and that cliff on the side, I gripped that wheel and I said, Lord, I need your help now. Then I noticed something. A pair of lights seemed to glow dimly through the snowstorm. I blinked hard, then peered ahead. There they were, tail lights. There was a car in front of me. At least someone was here with me. Focus on the lights, I told myself. Focus on those lights, not your fear. I followed my guide for at least another half an hour as we continued to ascend the mountain. Finally, I felt the road start to level out and then gradually descend. I lost sight of the taillights ahead of me, but the panic never returned. I could see the car's tire tracks in my headlights. All I had to do was follow the tracks the rest of the way down the mountain. I drove slowly, keeping my hands and my wheels on the tracks every inch of the way. Soon I could see that the lights of the town twinkling in the distance below me. The snow started to cover the tracks I was following, but both of us had made it. At the base of the mountain, I spotted taillights. I wondered if it was my guide. If so, I wanted to thank him. But as I got closer, I saw it wasn't a car. It was a snowplow. I pulled up beside it and rolled down my window. The driver of the plow did the same. Excuse me, I said. Did you see another car come down this road ahead of me? The driver looked at me as if I was insane. Lady, he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I've been working here at the base of this mountain for the past 2 or 3 hours. No one has gone up or come down that mountain but you. I didn't correct him, but I knew differently. I hadn't been alone on that mountain road that night. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Well, I'm crying a lot today because I know what God has done for me in similar situations. And I know that His word truly will do what He says. Today, this sermon is called Blizzard Conditions. Now, I know that it's sunshine out there right now, and I questioned the Lord on that too, but it just kept coming. Blizzard conditions. Now, the definition of a blizzard, how many of you like to watch the Weather Channel? Anybody? Wow, we used to watch hours of the Weather Channel. Yeah? And I don't know why. You know, just like watch it and watch it and watch it. But here's the definition of a blizzard. And this came from one of the news outlets. A snowstorm on steroids. I like that one, right? Now, but in reality, to qualify as a blizzard, it has to meet three criteria. Number one, it has to have sustained wind or frequent gust of wind 35 miles per hour or greater. Okay? Winds of 35 sustained. Number two, falling or blowing snow reducing visibility to under a quarter of a mile. A quarter of a mile is not that much, okay, when you think about visibility. And then the last one, it has to last for at least 3 consecutive hours. So those 3 criteria need to be met before any weather service will say that we have a blizzard out there. So those are pretty bad conditions. Anybody ever been in a blizzard before? And you can't see a thing, can you? It's coming down and the wind is blowing so strong, you don't know which way is left, right, anything. So now, oftentimes in our lives, we experience blizzard conditions, don't we? And I'm not talking about snowy conditions that you just happen to have gotten yourself into. I'm talking about blizzard conditions that simply can last for long periods of times in our lives. What kind of conditions? We're talking about sicknesses, family troubles, financial troubles, job troubles, loss of loved ones, and on and on and on. These are blizzard conditions, and oftentimes they will all hit at the same time. Anybody been there before? When it just seems, we say the saying, when it rains, it pours, right? Everything seems to be hitting me all at the same time. It's a blizzard condition. Perfect blizzard conditions. And you know, one of the things that the devil would love no more is that those blizzard conditions would destroy us and take us out of this whole business of serving Jesus or calling upon God. Because the enemy will come and say, what good is it to serve God? Look at all the things that are hitting you right now. What good is that? Matter of fact, in a man named Job's life, all of those things hit him. He had perfect blizzard conditions, didn't he? And one day, he lost all of his wealth. He lost all 10 of his children. And then, on top of it, his wife says, curse God and die. though Job had his issues, one of the things that he said was, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Because he's God, and I'm not. And we don't understand all the things that happened and why they happen. But I know this one thing, that God's word is true, that his word will be a light unto our path and a lamp to our feet, and nowhere to work, walk in these blizzard conditions, folks. Listen, they will disable us unless we follow the tracks. Unless we follow the lamp of God. And that's the devil's ultimate plan, is to disable anything that we're doing for God. But thy word is what I will follow. You may not be able to see a quarter mile in front of you when all of these things are happening to you. But one thing that you have is the unstoppable word of God. The unchanging word of God. That which God has given to us in this Bible, if God said it, he means it. And it may only be right out in front of you, and that's all you can see. But you must trust what God says, and he will pull you right on through. He's not going to show you, oh, I can see down 5 miles out in front of me. He's going to say, trust me with what you can see. Trust me with what you know. Trust me that my word is true. I know when I was training to fly, and the second license that I got was the instrument rating. And the instrument rating is for you to learn all of those instruments and learn how to read them and learn how to trust them, because you will be flying in clouds. Now, some of you have been up in an airplane before, right? How many of you, when that airplane goes up, all of a sudden you're seeing, and then poof, you can't see a thing. Guess why? Because you're in the clouds and you can't see in front of you. And some of you are probably going, man, I hope that pilot knows what he's doing. Trust me, they do. They don't get there for no reason at all. They have learned to trust those instruments. And oftentimes, I have flown in the clouds for 4 or 5 hours not being able to see a thing, but following the instruments. And then you get on what's called a flight path and an instrument landing system, and you're coming down, 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 down. You cannot see a thing. You're trusting that you are on that instrument path. And then 200 feet to the ground, when poof, you're out of the clouds and you see the runway right in front of you. But if I had said, you know what? I don't think that thing is working. I don't trust that. Only thing I can trust is what I can see. I wouldn't have made it. And I want us to understand something. Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on what you can see, because that's deceptive. What is not deceptive is this word of God. He will put it out in front of you. You will be able to stand on that word of God. Amen? Amen. Now, Jesus admonished us by telling us that this would happen. John chapter 16, verse 33. Listen. Jesus said, these things I have told you, I have spoken this to you, that you might have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation. Is there anybody exempt from trials and hardships? It's part of life. And if anybody thinks that, well, you know, that particular person, I see the way they are. They've just lived on easy street. Okay? You don't know where each individual has been, do we? And I've had people tell me that, well, you know, you're a pastor. You just have everything handed you. You just have lived on easy street your whole life. Now, that man's known me for 37 years. Has it been easy street, brother? I've had lots of these perfect blizzards. But I go back to your word as a lamp unto my feet. I can't see. I can't see out there. But I know what your word says. And I know that that word is going to carry me through. I know that. It doesn't matter. Sometimes we want to panic and just run when the storm is around us. We have everything happening all at once. And we just want to panic and we just want to run. But wait for the word of the Lord. Because remember, where is Jesus? Is he in the storm? Is he with you? He promised us. He promised us that he would never leave us or forsake us. Amen? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. I love that portion of scripture as well, because again, when I cannot see, I must trust what he says. Amen? Look at that last verse. He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, how many of you have ever felt like God has left you? And look, I'm gonna raise both hands. Because there are seasons when it just feels like God is gone. It doesn't matter whether you scream at him, cry, fall on your face. It's like, God, where are you? Why have you let all this stuff happen to me? It feels like God is nowhere around. Do you know what? He's there. He's there. Because he made the promise, I will never leave you. So I have to come to, you know what, God, I don't feel like you're anywhere around here, but it doesn't matter because you are. That's what you said. You are, and you're going to carry me through this. And I'm going to be okay. I will be okay because that's what your promise is. You will never leave me or forsake me, that I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? You understand the principle here? You're not going to be able to see. All of us want, and there's some of us that are control freaks. We want to know exactly where we're going and how we're getting there and every step of the way. How many are like that? Well, thank you. You got a couple of you that are raising your hand. And we get uncomfortable when we can't see. Oh, Pastor, don't stop there. We get uncomfortable. We say, God, show me the way. But if God showed you the way, would that be trusting him? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. God knows that you're in the storm. He's not leaving you. You just have to believe his word. Now, I want to give us an example. How many of you heard of the Apostle Paul? If you've been anywhere around my preaching or teaching, you've heard it. So I absolutely love the Apostle Paul. Looking forward to meeting him one day. But you know what? He wasn't a perfect man either. He had a shortfall. But yet he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament that we have. And God inspired him and gave him knowledge and wisdom. But I want to tell you a little story here. And this is Acts chapter 15. Would you go with me to Acts 15 as we start this? Give you just a scenario here. And a lot of times people think, well, these Bible characters and prophets and apostles, man, they were just awesome men of God. They didn't have any issues. They just, you know, they walked with a halo around their heads. Come on, were they any different than us? No, no, except trust. They had to trust God. But here's the scenario that we set up for us prior to Acts chapter 15. Paul, who used to be Saul, used to be a guy that was extremist in Judaism. He was a Pharisee and he killed Christians. He hated Christians. And then lo and behold, God one day does what? Comes to him and knocks him to the ground, and then he realizes that he's persecuting Jesus and the saints of God, and he becomes a believer in Christ. Well, there's a time period that goes along, and there was a man named Barnabas that he had met. And Barnabas was a man of God, full of faith, and they met originally, and then Saul goes back to Tarsus, where he is from. And there's actually like a 10-year period in there. And then one day, Barnabas comes back and says, Saul, God's called us to go together and to preach the gospel. And you know what? They did that, and they were great friends. Barnabas believed in Paul, and they became great friends preaching the gospel. That's pretty awesome, right? The storm is beginning to start here. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. And Barnabas said, determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who had departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. The storm has begun. These two men were fast friends that had spent hours upon hours, months and years preaching the gospel together. And now there's a sharp dissension between the two of them. Because Barnabas, he says, look, I want to take John Mark with us. And Paul says, absolutely not. He left us. I am not taking a quitter with us. And Barnabas says, come on, man. Give him a second chance. This friendship had been frayed because of the sharp dissension. That ever happened to you with someone that you were such a good friend with? Does it feel good? You better believe that it hurt both of them. The storm was beginning. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, remember, this is the beginning of the storm. Now, chapter 16 right now. Then he came to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now that presents a problem, because the Apostle Paul is taking his group to a lot of Jewish synagogues. And guess what? Gentiles are not allowed in these synagogues. The Jews really look down on that. But this man, which was well reported of the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Storm's building some more. He's got this young man with him, and he's older, and says, guess what? You know, we need to circumcise you. Now, if I was Timotheus, I'd be saying, say what? Say what? Now there's some contention there. And as they went through the cities and delivered them the decrees to keep, they were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in the number daily. All this is happening. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, it was on Paul's mind, I'm going to Asia to preach the word. How many of us have things in our mind that we got set? This is where I'm going and this is what I'm doing. But the Holy Spirit forbade them and say, no, you're not. See, we have plans, don't we? We have plans for what we want to do. And sometimes God says, no, you're not. I understand that. Anybody else understand that? This is very frustrating. And I get the Apostle Paul here because he had invested a lot and collected monies along the way and put a lot into this trip heading towards Asia. And the Holy Ghost says, no, you're not. I forbid you to do that. And they were come into Mysia. Then they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Holy Ghost said, no, I told you no. The storm was really brewing, wasn't it? All these things were weighing upon the Apostle Paul. Do you know how many miles between all these cities they had gone? Hundreds of miles in mountainous terrain on foot and beast. All weather conditions to try to get to Asia, and then the Spirit says, no, you're not. I think this was another case that the Apostle Paul was doing his own thing. How many of us like to do our own thing? Here's the thing. Blizzard conditions here for Paul. He didn't know which direction to turn. Should I go here? Should I go here? Should I go this? And some of us are thinking, yeah, man, I thought he was the Apostle Paul. He just, thus saith the Lord, go here, go there. He was just like us. We have to do what? When these perfect blizzard conditions, they will disable us unless we follow the lamp of God's word. We need to hear from God. And after all of this, and they were passing to Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to go and preach the gospel unto them. So, you see, they were floundering, going here, going here, doing this, doing that. This. How many of us are like that? And we never once say, God, what is your will? What is your direction? I want to hear from you. Now, I will tell you this, that sometimes we may feel like we're stalled out and just flailing. We may feel like, you know, I'm just stuck here. I need to do something. I need to move in this direction. I need to move in that direction. I need to do this, do that, do that. Here's my counsel. If you feel like you are just stalled and stuck? Here's my counsel. Stay where you're at until you hear from God. We just want to... Well, how about this? You know, let me try this. Let me try that. Let me try this. How do I know this? Ask my wife. She knows. Ask Brother Rick. He knows. Well, let's try this. Let's try that. And you know how many people come to me and say, well, you know what, Pastor? Here's what the church ought to be doing. They ought to be doing this and this. And you ought to be preaching this. And you ought to be doing this. And you ought to be doing that. You know what? I ain't doing nothing until I hear from God. Just like the Apostle Paul, he finally hears from God with the vision to say, go over here. But until we hear from God, stay where you're at. And sometimes we then fake hearing from God. Oh, yeah. We want so bad to move. And I'm just tired of being here. I'm tired of being stuck here. God has you where you're at for a reason. And stay there until you truly hear from God. What do I mean by fake it? You know, we can come up with all kinds of things. You know, oh, I saw this. That's a sign from God that I'm supposed to go. You have to hear from God, from the Word of God, and hear from God and listen. God will always confirm His Word. And this is a huge problem for believers. We're constantly, you know, I'm searching for my ministry. I'm searching for my ministry. I'm searching for the, here, oh, it's over here. Here it is. I'm over here. I'm over here. God has you where you're at. Stay where you're at and do what you're called to do. You know where I started my ministry at? Cleaning toilets in a church as a janitor in Hemet, California. Well, God, this is not where I want to be at. I want to be preaching. I want to preach to the multitudes. And God said, clean those toilets, boy. That's your ministry. And I know this sermon all too well, John, because I did everything in my power to get out of it. And out of all the things that God has let me be in, you know, I wanted this great big ministry. And you know, for years, some of you don't know this, I worked in an auto garage shop. Not fixing cars. The man hired me to clean up the messes. And I learned obedience through that. God said, you stay where you're put until I show you the tracks. And I give you my word. Then you move. And I have learned that over the years, we are not doing anything or moving anywhere or doing anything unless we hear from God. They say, well, you know, I've been here for 10 years doing the same thing. So what? Keep doing it unless you hear from God. Wait for the Lord's word before acting. Go back with me as we finish this sermon off today, this word from God. Back to the book of Psalms again. Psalm chapter 27. And I love these verses. The psalmist wrote this, Psalm 27, verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How many of us like that? But God, I've been doing this for 20 years. So, The psalmist said, what? Wait, I say, on the Lord. You wait for God. Turn over a page or two, chapter 32 right now, verse 6 through 8. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time that thou mayest be found, surely in the floods of great waters. They shall not come nigh unto you. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that you should go. I will guide you with mine eye. Amen. I will guide you. I will instruct you. I will teach you. I will guide you. When you are in blizzard conditions, what do you look for, church? Thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart. It's a lamp to my feet, and it will guide you through. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things about getting a few years older is you can look back on all the mistakes you've made. Now, the problem is that some of us look back on the mistakes we've made and we continue doing those things. But there is a way out of that. I say wait on the Lord. Father, thank you for this word here today. And I thank you that you're so good to bring us this admonition, Lord. And we praise and we worship you. And I want to give you an opportunity here to do something with this word that you have heard. How many of you have been challenged by this word? And how many of you will say, Father, would you forgive me for doing just that? Now, I want to ask one more question. Is there anyone in here that would say, I'm willing to, as hard as it might be, I'm willing to give my life and trust him because I'm in a storm and I need his word. I need that. Just raise your hand if that's you. I want to pray for you. Is there anybody in this house? All right. Father, I thank you for the hands that have gone up in this place. And just simply, I ask that now strengthening from you would come to each one that raised their hands to wait on you, to wait for your word, and to be content where we're at. I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. God's people said amen. Amen and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Paul Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.